tiny bubble.
Well, how ironic is this song? Because right now in the studio from the Chicago Tribune, the bubbly Eric Zorn joins us. Hello, bubbly Eric Zorn.
Hi, Bill. Hi, Wendy.
And I say that for people who don't know you because, well, you're lightly carbonated.
I'm effervescent.
Yes, you are. You're fizzy. You're downright fizzy.
I like the bubbly adjective.
Maybe it's the one I'm going to stick
with.
That
could be a good one for
you. I've been changing every week, but maybe this is the one. Maybe it's the one. It'll define me forever.
There's so much going on right now. Who would have thought that the Bruce Jenner into Caitlyn Jenner thing would be as big as it is, but it is. It's that big and then some.
Well, if you remember, it broke last week while we were on the air together.
Yes,
remember,
it did.
We were going to talk about something really important like pensions.
Yes.
And that's right.
And then the Vanity Fair cover popped up online. And we said, well, we must talk about this. Yeah, it's been topic 1, 2, and 3 in the news all week, pretty much.
Clint Eastwood made a joke, I guess, that was offensive to Caitlyn Jenner. He was introducing
The Rock.
Who
isn't Clint Eastwood offensive to nowadays?
He's got a streak going, doesn't
yes.
he? He really does. He's got an insane streak, but he was introducing The Rock, and he compared The Rock to other sports figures like Jim Brown, or he said, or that Caitlyn person like that. And I guess they're going to edit that out of the broadcast. It's going to be run in a couple of weeks, the Guy's Choice Awards.
I don't even get it. Why, is that supposed to be funny?
I guess, yeah.
Well, because Bruce Jenner was such a great athlete. It's just rude is what it is.
Right.
It's not funny.
Right.
Well, Mike Huckabee, you heard about that, right? He said he was giving a speech and he said, boy, I sure wish that when I was in 7th grade, after gym class, I could have said, Coach, I'm feeling my feminine side. I want to go shower with the girls today. And he got ripped, deservedly.
That's not funny either.
Well, how about the Duggars, who you would think if anybody was playing it safe right now, it would be the Duggars.
Lay low.
And they said, no, I guess everybody knows the backstory, but their oldest son has been, he has admitted to child molestation. He, as a kid, did some inappropriate things with 4 of his sisters and a babysitter. And the Duggars said, we got to keep our eyes on these transgender people when it comes to this sort of thing, child molestation.
What?
Even though they've
they said
been,
that?
Yeah. Even though they've been covering up their own son's child molestation, they go, no, 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 don't watch out for him. Watch these transgender people. That's who's going to molest you.
One's a molester. One isn't.
Exactly. Right. It's absurd.
Isn't that like a magician's trick? He's like,
right.
Distracts your
misdirection.
Vision. Misdirection.
It's
hey, look
classic
over here.
Misdirection.
Transgender people, look what they're doing.
Yeah.
No, it was interesting. We had a long discussion this morning at the editorial board meeting about just about this issue and how it brings up. People feel like they... A lot of people are really uneasy or uncomfortable with the basic idea, or they don't understand it. And I would put myself in the category of someone who is perfectly willing to be compassionate and understanding. At the same time, I realize that I don't get it at some basic level. Like, I don't know what that feels like. I can you know, project onto other sort of things, other things that people like, oh, this person is you know, someone is gay. I can say, well, I can understand how you'd be attracted to this person over that person. I don't know what that internal feeling is like to feel like you are in the wrong body, and
right?
And that I think from someone in my perspective, and most people's perspective, just say, look, we don't get this, but it's obviously a very strong, very real feeling for these people, and it's something that you can either complain about it or tease them, or you can just accept it and say, well, this is not something true. This is not a whim. It's not a fetish. It's just it is who they are. How do they identify? And that. Really, the least we can do is just to be understanding about it, right? Just say, well, okay, that's who you are, and it doesn't really affect you, right? It doesn't. In what way does it?
Because everybody concerns themselves with everybody else's business. That's really
true.
The bottom line. Like,
right.
You know, oh, well, my God doesn't believe in that, so you shouldn't do it. You know what? Maybe their God is not your God.
I don't think any scripture addresses this particular issue,
but everybody
issue,
will
right?
say that. You know, the Duggars are very deeply religious. Somewhere in their Bible does it say it's okay to molest kids?
Right.
I mean,
right.
Seriously.
No, it's...
You can interpret it however you want.
I don't understand why there would be any kind of religious objection to this, but
doesn't it seem like a very religious people have a problem with this?
I did, however, have one objection to this, maybe two.
What
one
are they?
Was that I thought that Caitlyn was a strange choice for a name for Bruce Jenner. But Bruce Jenner was born in 1949, and no one
The name Caitlyn wasn't popular then.
It was barely invented.
But he said he liked that name. He was watching a reality show, and
really
a character on one of the reality shows was right. You would think how foreign to the Jenner family, the Jenner Kardashian family. But he said that somebody on a reality show had that name Caitlyn, and he just went, oh, yeah, that's kind of a nice name.
And he didn't the do the K like the Kardashians.
Right, with the C.
I just thought that it was gender appropriate for him, but not generationally appropriate. That
right.
When he was born, I looked this up. In 1949, Bruce was the 19th most popular boy's name. You know, they keep those tables and mm-hmm. charts. And the 19th most popular girl's name was Joyce. Okay, do you know any Joyces?
Yes.
They're all, you know,
yeah.
She'd make a good choice. And the other names were like Linda. And names you could get, Linda, Barbara, Susan, the kind of names that
he was married to a Linda, so he couldn't have done that.
That would have been creepy. But
Linda Thompson.
So I made that observation. And a lot of people didn't understand the bubbly spirit in which I offered that observation, which was, you know, I thought it was an interesting thing about name. Names interest me for that reason. We talked last week about Wendy and Wednesday.
Yeah.
But
Eric, if you had to, the bubbly Eric Zorn in the studio with us right now, yeah. If you had to choose a woman's name for yourself, like just say you were going to be in a play and you had, what would you choose?
You know, the story that my family tells is that my parents, if I had been born a girl, my father wanted to name me Juanita.
Juanita.
This is the story really? That has been told. Now, I don't know if I could have pulled off Juanita in anybody. But my sister, who was born 5 years after me, is Karen, those kinds of names from that generation.
Right.
I think they're kidding you.
They might be. They're listening right now, actually. They're in town.
Isn't that strange, though? I think most parents do share that with their kids, what your name would have been had you been the opposite
sex.
What
would you have been?
I don't remember. And it's strange because I've got such a good memory for almost everything. But I remember my parents telling it to me, and I've totally blanked on it. I don't know what it is at all.
I don't think they ever told me.
They never told you yours?
All those names, because there's so many, you know, boys' names don't change in popularity that much, although they have more recently, but it's always been like Michael and William and David and Joseph, and those kind of names are always on the list. Girls' names tend to be more trendy. They tend to evolve as time goes on more, because you look at that list of names from the, you know, list of girls' popular names, Mary, you know, all these names.
Sure.
Mary Schmeek, my friend and colleague, she's like, nobody's named Mary anymore. I don't know if Mary's even on the top 1,000 names anymore, that people just don't give that first name.
Yeah.
I think Catholics often give that as a middle name.
Sure,
but as a first name, you just don't hear it anymore. And it's, you know, it's one of those things that mark you as somewhere in history.
How long will Caitlyn Jenner be such a huge story? I mean, it's really, it's been since the Diane Sawyer interview that she's been on everybody's collective mind, and especially the last week with the Vanity Fair issue. But at some point, it won't be that big of a deal anymore, will it?
E Entertainment is going to debut a reality series. I think it's 6 parts or 8 parts. I'm not sure. And I think that premieres next month. So it'll run probably through the summer. And that's my guess is the story shelf life is probably August or something like that. And at some point, you know, I mean, what you want to do with a story like this, what I think the transgender community would like to have happen is that this becomes just sort of matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
And you compare that to maybe the way people being gay used to be like this big, oh, you know, he's gay, whisper. He's gay. And now it's just like, oh, yeah, you know.
But this is magnified by the fact that I think most people would say this was the world's best athlete. And if the world's best athlete could feel trapped in the wrong body, who else is feeling that way? And we don't know about it.
It really does normalize it, right? It makes you. And on the other hand, I will say this: I don't think this is something that is. You know, I mean, it's by common. You know, it's not like every third person you meet or every tenth person. I think it's more like, you know, 1 in 300, 1 in 500, something like that. It's a rare occurrence, but it does happen. And so when it does happen, we have a choice as a society. How to treat people like that? Do we try to accommodate them? Do we try to understand them? Do we try not to make their lives any harder than they are? Because clearly, this is a very painful thing to feel, and going through some of these procedures is expensive and time consuming, and dealing with your family and dealing with your friends and everybody, and trying to bring them around to this. And I mean, it's a very tough thing that these people
can we do this it. We got to take a break, but you had a term that you threw out to me earlier. I don't know that Eric would guess it either.
All right,
it's a term that has something to do with what we were just discussing that seemed different to Wendy and myself. Maybe you'll know it, maybe
okay.
You won't.
Play the Jeopardy music and I'll try right now and while we take a break.
That's how to do it. Stick around. It's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder, it's the very bubbly Eric Zorn on WG,
and the bubbly side of life is Eric Zorn. I was reading something earlier today to Bill off the air, and I worked at Brookfield Zoo, and I'm proud of Brookfield Zoo, and I found that Brookfield Zoo will become the second zoo in the country to officially recognize and celebrate Pride as it teams up with Best Gay Chicago to create a unique event during Pride Month. So Thursday, June 25th, just days before the Chicago Pride Parade, Brookfield Zoo hosting its first ever Zoo Pride. And I thought it was really cool. And as I was reading more about it, this LGBTQ came up. And I never, Bill and I were curious as to what the Q was.
Do you, I do have that answer.
Oh, you knew.
It is, yeah, it was what is queer.
Nope.
No.
No. It is not.
No,
it is not.
No, because we thought, you know, that
the gay community would probably look upon that word as a negative stereotype.
No, they've co-opted that word. They've taken that word back, is my understanding.
Have they?
If not, then I'm going to get a lot of email. But I think they have.
It's not that, because I thought
questioning.
Yes,
it is questioning.
Isn't that awesome?
It is.
But I only bet $1,000 now.
I looked it up, and it's lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and questioning.
As if to say they themselves are questioning what they, yeah, okay.
Well, that's an interesting
word. I love that.
And this came up this morning in our conversation around the table, which was the idea that you know, we want to be understanding of people's feelings on this. How young is too young? Do you want, when a six-year-old decides they're in the wrong body, do we always like begin to take steps hormonally and surgically to help transform that person from one gender to the other? Or do you wait a while?
I say wait till puberty.
Yeah, because I've read some things where they feel like, you know, for adults, obviously this is not a whim or a stage, but for, you know, people change so much when they're growing up from age 6 to 16 that it might pay off to delay that kind of decision some, so that when you are questioning, there is a period where I think people who are going through this aren't sure. They're not sure what this feeling is and what it means, and maybe it doesn't mean that they're, maybe it means they're gay, maybe it means they're transgender, maybe it means something else. I don't know, but I think it probably does make sense if you're looking at it from a policy position.
Although look at all three of us right now, I've had no doubts as to my sexuality ever. So, you know, I've always felt like a girl in a girl's body. So I said, wait till puberty. Maybe that's not right. Maybe these people are born feeling that right away.
Well, Bruce Jenner, Caitlyn Jenner said that as a child, that feeling was very strong. If you remember, wanting to dress up in other clothes and so on. But I do know that, you know, there are people who feel that maybe they are just want to cross dress. Maybe they are just have this, you know, tomboy feelings for a while.
I was the biggest tomboy in the world, but I still knew I was a girl.
Right, see, I don't even know, what does that mean to feel like you're a girl? What does it? I mean, I don't even. I guess we, you know, it's like, I don't know what it means to feel like you're the right gender in the right body. It's like, it's so normal. It's like I know what it's like to have two arms. I can't, you know what I mean?
I think
it's like,
it just means not afraid to ask for directions. I think that's the main difference.
I think you would have some inner battle if I was born the wrong gender, I would be having some inner turmoil within my.
Oh, yes, you know that sense of turmoil. You know what it's like not to feel any turmoil, not to feel anything unusual. But you breathe oxygen. You don't feel like, well, what would it be like to breathe nitrogen? I mean, you don't have that sort of feeling. It's just something that is hard to imagine, right?
Yeah.
It's hard to imagine what that feeling is like, because when you say, you know what it feels like to be a girl, but it's like, it's just so normal. It's such a normal state for you that it's hard for you to imagine. I think it's hard for me to imagine. I'll say that. Hard for me to imagine what that actually
is. It is. There's no point of reference for those of us who have never had it.
There's no point of reference.
But there's also no questioning. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel bad. It's not something that these people choose to have happen. I don't know. Something didn't turn out right within side or something. I don't even know.
So as a policy matter, I mean, that's really where this, I mean, there's an attitude matter that we could all decide what kind of attitude are we going to take to these people. And I think if it really squigs you out, you just like don't deal with it. You don't,
right.
You know, you just, you try
mind
to be
business.
Polite, you try to be polite, you try to use the pronouns that people want to use, and you just, you know, you go home and feel gross about it if you want to, but
well,
keep it to yourself. But there are some policy questions about, like, you know, bathrooms, about transgender people in the military.
Sure.
The question of who pays for how much therapy, surgery, all that kind of stuff. But those kind of issues are public policy questions that we probably do need to address in some way, and that will probably change as time goes on.
And compounding the difficulty of anybody who does spend their life feeling like they're trapped in the wrong body is the way you're accepted or not accepted by family members and friends.
Exactly.
I can only imagine how much more difficult that makes it when the people closest to you just kind of disown you.
Right, and I think the thing to ask yourself is, well, what if it were your kid who was feeling that way, or yours, a sibling of yours? How would you want that person treated? And, you know, sort of a golden rule aspect, or if it was you yourself, if you had those feelings, how would you want society to treat you? And I think with at best, you know, acceptance, that seems like the minimum standard of decency for something like this.
Right.
And it does seem, you know, nothing ever matters until it relates to you personally. So if you have feelings about someone who is gay, you do have to think, what if all of a sudden your son or daughter at a later point in time says, Mom, Dad, I'm gay, or I'm a lesbian. The people who don't accept their children, you can go on the internet and find all these poor kids who go and commit suicide because their parents did not even accept them.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, Bill, you're looking like you want to say
something. Well, look at what happened. I mean, this is relatable to the Duggar story. Jim Bob Duggar went on record as saying he thinks the child molester should be put to death. That's how serious he was about it, until it was his own child. I don't remember during the interview him saying, yeah, I really think we should put Josh to death after what he did. It was just the opposite. We need to forgive him and move past it.
We need to forgive him and move on. Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, if you think, you know, one of these, if your kid comes to you today and says, you know, I think I'm gay, you're thinking, well, okay, it's going to be a tougher life for you, which would be my thought. But at least it's not the life that they would have had 20, 25 years ago.
Right.
Where being gay was really, really hard. I think the same thing, you got to think the same thing about transgender, which is like if your kid comes to you or a sibling comes to you and says this, you got to think, what kind of world do you want that person to occupy? And then that's the kind of world that you should want Caitlyn Jenner or anybody else to occupy, which is a world where it's okay to be that way, where you can be happy and live and not feel like every time you walk down the street, people look at you bad.
Now, Eric, now we know why people call you bubbly.
You've been
nothing but bubbly for the last half hour. It's Eric Zorn. You can read his work in the Chicago Tribune and listen to him here every Monday with us. Thanks, Eric.
Good to see you guys.
We'll find out what Bob and Marianne have next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.